Welcome to Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out with Julie Caraccio. Every Tuesday at 1 p.m., Julie interviews experts on all areas of clutter, physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional. A clutter coach and professional organizer, Julie also offers tips to help you get clutter-free for a more joyful and fulfilling life.
Hey everyone, today we're going to be talking about downsizing. A lot of times we think about seniors when it comes to downsizing, but there's been a real movement for people to let go of stuff, have less clutter, and have less living space. We're going to talk about downsizing and learn some tips and maybe some reasons why you might want to downsize. Maureen Torpy is an author, speaker, and professional organizer. In her role as the declutter coach, she has offered her clients an improved quality of life through becoming organized since 2004. She holds several certificates of study from the Institute for Challenging Disorganization, a certificate of completion in hoarding and clutter coaching in a hoarding environment. Maureen has authored three books, Going Forward, Downsizing, Moving, and Settling In, Let's Get Organized, 172 Tiplets to Simplify Life, and Christmas Workbook, How to Plan and Create a More Meaningful Christmas. Welcome, Maureen. Let's get started. Many times we think of seniors when we hear the word downsizing. In your experience, what are the three main reasons people downsize?
Well, usually it begins when they've inherited an estate from deceased relatives. And they realize the work involved in getting rid of all that. So then they decide not to do that to their children. And then maybe they're moving to a smaller home, apartment, or perhaps assisted living, and they can't take everything with them. But sometimes they just want to recoup their investment on the big house so they can travel and do other things that they'd like to do. And the sale of the house and the artwork and antiques and such will provide them the funds to do that.
Excellent. It's interesting. I've noticed, it's been my observation of just kind of reading. I like to skim the news online that you see all these small houses popping up and 400 square foot living space, and they're designed and they're beautiful and they're elegant and they fit everything they need in it.
It's amazing how we can really fit into little space if we want to.
Now, what would you say to someone who's thinking about downsizing?
Well, the first thing I'd say was allow plenty of time. Those walks down memory lane are really important, and it's necessary to take the time you need to relive the memories. And if some of those items need to go, it's important to come to terms with parting with them before that happens. Take time to decide who gets what, and that can be difficult because maybe the thing you want your oldest kid to receive, they don't really want, but the youngest might want it. So that takes some negotiation, and definitely don't work to a deadline if at all possible, because it can be a very long and arduous process. And to work to a deadline makes it just emotionally intolerable. Also, to take care of health, both physical and emotional, during the process.
Excellent. Now, you bring up memories. So many times people put their memories on an object, but, you know, we have the memories here in our heart and here in our head. Do you have any thoughts or tips for people who are struggling with objects that they've infused a lot of memories on or emotional memories?
Well, the easiest thing to do is take a picture of it, and then keep the picture, write down the memories if you want to. If people are computerized, they can make a screensaver out of the very favorite memory pictures. They can make a slideshow and have that be the screensaver that rolls through picture after picture, and then they can relive those memories anytime they want, and it takes no space.
Excellent.
Or they could put it in one of those electronic picture frames. You know, just put it on memory stick and put that in the picture frame, and the same thing can happen. It can roll along, and we can enjoy the pictures as they pass.
I love that idea. When my great aunt moved, we had to move her eventually into assisted care, but that's what we got her. We got her a photo that moved with the pictures, and we were able to upload everything, and that was one thing that meant the world to her.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's great today.
What are the greatest benefits to downsizing that you've seen?
Well, I think the biggest one is a sense of relief when it's all gone, which might be surprising because sometimes we feel encumbered by our stuff and we don't realize that we are, but once it's gone, it's like, whew, now I can breathe and I can enjoy the pieces that really are most meaningful. And the feeling of freedom not to have to maintain a big house, you know, thinking about the cleaning and the maintenance and paying the taxes and all of those things that go with owning a house. Outdoor work. And also, it frees up the time that you might spend doing the house cleaning to do things, more fun things, you know, spend time with special people, volunteer, travel, enjoy hobbies, and all those kinds of things that there may not be time for when you're maintaining a big house.
That's really interesting. And I wonder if you think age has something to do with it. I lived in Los Angeles for 10 years, and so I lived in apartments and condos. And when I moved out to North Carolina, I wanted to buy a house. It was a big deal for me in many ways, kind of like a milestone. But yeah. I wanted trees. I wanted grass. You know, that was my big thing. I'm like, I want a yard, although actually I really enjoy mowing. I hate edging. But, you know, it was a big deal to me. It was kind of almost a rite of passage. But mm-hmm. I can imagine 30 years from now that maybe that's another rite of passage, like, okay, I've lived my life, I'm getting ready to go on to the great beyond, and it's time to let it all go.
Yeah. Well, when I moved back to my hometown 10, 11 years ago, it was important for me to have a house as well. But within a few years, my health started failing, and I couldn't do the yard work as much as I wanted to. So then I had to pay someone to do that for me. And then little by little, I had to pay somebody to do the things for me that I didn't mind doing, but I couldn't. So that was the first time I downsized. But it was hard because the house meant so much to me.
I can appreciate that. Now, yeah. Would you say that downsizing and minimalism are the same?
I don't think they are. Downsizing, in my term of reference, is to get to it means a smaller, moving from a bigger home to a smaller home, sometimes out of necessity, whether it's health or financial reasons, or a desire to do other things like travel, as I mentioned earlier. Whereas minimalism, the way I see it, is more about deciding to live only with the essentials. And that differs with each person. It may include moving to a smaller home or a condo or apartment, but that's not necessarily part of the minimalist mindset. So there's a bit of overlap, but they're not the same thing.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate that because I hear those terms thrown around a lot, and it's true. What's essential, I'm sure I have a different definition than you do, even if they're close.
Absolutely.
Now, what are the challenges to downsizing?
Well, the length of time it might take, I don't think that is fully understood when there's a lot. Say, someone's lived in a home for 50 years or even 10 years. There's so much stored under the stairs and in the backs of closets that we forget we have. So it takes much, much longer than we think it'll take usually. There's a lot of emotion involved when we're letting treasures go, things that we've, you know, maybe they were wedding gifts that we really liked and we loved the people who gave them, and so there's a lot of memories attached. So that can be difficult. Who gets what? That's a big one. And then how to decide who gets what is important to people. And nobody wants to offend anybody. And, of course, you know, this is an exercise that's ripe for hurt feelings, and we don't want that. So that's a challenge. Also, people need to know that their treasures are going to a good home. Whether they're going to family members or friends or not, they need to know that this particular item that means so much to them is going to be loved by the person who receives it, whoever that may be.
What tips do you have? You gave some great ones on memories earlier and letting those go, but for those areas where people are challenged that you just mentioned, what tips would you share to help them with that?
Well, I did mention taking pictures. That's a big one. I'll tell you a client I had once, and it blew me away. He was a kind of a middle-aged gentleman, and he had a family of teddy bears that he just couldn't part with. And I said, you know, you're moving from this 3,000 square foot home into a 1,200 square foot condo. You can't take everything. So we lined them up, stood them all up on the stairs, and took a picture, and we made it into a screensaver, and he was able to let the teddy bears go. And that's certainly one thing. Write down the memories about things before you give them away that can go with the pictures. And, you know, sometimes as we get older, we begin to forget a little bit, so we can always go back and read those stories, and that revives the memories. If there's a piece of clothing that we really love, we can make it into, say, a cushion, for example, or a wall hanging, and that will keep the memory handy and take less space. We can enjoy it at any time. I've seen, say, fancy jackets with a dowel put through the sleeves and hung on the wall as a piece of artwork, just kind of up straight like this. Other things I've seen is if people want to take videos and put that on DVD or as an MP4, and they can watch that online. Anything audio can be downloaded onto as an MP3 now, or an MP4 for video, and that can get rid of all of that material that takes space.
I just wanted to ask, you had mentioned that a lot of times it takes more time than people think, so yes. Do you have any tips for that?
Allow plenty of time. Sometimes people get stuck, you know, people don't want to let things go. So I would say that sometimes they believe their possessions are worth more than the money they can get for them, and that can be difficult. And sometimes they believe antiques are still in high demand. And I don't know about your corner of the world, but here, you know, there's kind of a glut, and the prices aren't what they might have been at one time. And I think even on eBay, I've looked at different things, and they're not moving. Some of these old priceless things, or even lead crystal now isn't moving, even if it's a very simple pattern. People don't want things that they have to maintain. They don't go in the dishwasher. A lot of people don't want them, including me. A misunderstanding of what a real antique is. You know, if it's something old, people think it's antique, but it's just old. It's not worth much at all. Sometimes the gifts they've received, they believe they have to keep it because of who gave it to them, whether it was children or grandchildren or deceased relatives. They can't get rid of old Aunt Mabel's, I don't know, chamber pot because it belonged to her. But, you know, there's no reason to keep it. You know, again, if you really, really want to keep that memory, take a picture. Sometimes the challenge is what to do with everything, because if there is so much and people have never done this before, they really don't know where to start. So it's important that they kind of get that into focus. And then, of course, what to do with items nobody wants once they've decided who's going to get what.
And when I give a gift, I tell people it's yours to do what you want. If it's, you know, wasn't a good match, re-gift it. I have no issue with that. I think that that's really important to let people know. Now, you have mentioned deciding who gets what, and I'm curious, do you recommend to clients that they create a legal document around that, or that they just create a list on the computer? I know when my grandmother passed, before she died, she had started to give away stuff, and my grandmother was very even Steven. You couldn't get anything more fair, so it would go down the line, my aunt, my father, my aunt, then recycle back. And when she passed, she still had things, and they drew a straw to see mm-hmm. who would pick first. And then, but one thing that they did is they wanted to make sure all the grandchildren had at least something from her, or that was a family thing. And I mean, it was really well thought out. But what do you advise your clients?
Well, I advise them to, once they decide that they're going to do this, invite their family in if they can come, if they're not living too far away, and put their names on items that they want. Write to the family, friends, the family who is far away who can't come, ask them to send a list of their preferences in order of preference. If there happens to be a conflict, then draw straws. Either that or set up a rule that the oldest has first pick. But that can sometimes create dissension. I think, you know, kind of a little lottery is a better way to do it, because everybody then has the equal opportunity. And if the person doing the giving away is ready to let it go now, ask the people to take it away immediately, so then it's out of the way for the next step of the downsizing.
I really have to emphasize this, that I think as much as you can get done before and decide, because why it went really well on my father's side, when my mother's grandmother passed, her father's, her aunts, her sisters were like vultures, there's really no other way to describe it, and yeah. came in and picked everything clean. And my mom later in life discovered she had a talent for art. And so luckily she got one, and my grandfather managed to get one of her great aunt's paintings. But, you know, there was no opportunity for things that sentimental from her grandmother or anything. And it caused, you know, that there was a rift there that was never healed.
Mm-hmm. That's not uncommon. Yeah, I think part of it has to do with how we as a society resist facing the fact that some of our elders have to go through this for their own good, and we still want them to keep the big home because that's home. We can't visualize home as being anywhere else. We can't all go, you know, 10 kids can't go back and sleep there anymore because, you know, the big home is a, you know, one person rattling around, and it doesn't make sense. So it's adjusting our expectations as a society as to what is the best thing for the person that it affects most.
I think that's an excellent point. Thank you for sharing that. Now, what tips do you have to prepare to downsize, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually? I think maybe if you, I would guess, I haven't downsized before, but you know, maybe if you did some mental preparation and emotional and around mm-hmm. these areas, then it's going to make the process a lot easier.
Yes. You know, that's a really big question. I have to say that right off the top, because it does affect us in all those ways. And I've answered, assuming the move is to a smaller home, whatever that may be. And I'm going to start with physical, because that's, for me, that's the easiest part. In order, I'd say, get plenty of rest. This is a very exhausting process, and it's important to get plenty of rest while you do it. Eat nourishing food. We need to fuel our bodies because the task at hand does require. It's amazing how hungry that people will get. Now, I shouldn't generalize, because some people will get hungry and be nibbling all the time, and some people won't be able to eat, because it depends on their own, how they approach these things. I'd say work no more than 3 to 4 hours a day, because it is so physically exhausting and mentally and emotionally exhausting, but we'll get that to that later. And if we get too tired, sometimes we're tempted just to throw in the towel and say, I'm not going to do this. It's too hard. I'll let my children deal with it after I'm gone. And that's not fair to anybody. Take breaks as needed. I say if we need a nap in the midst of this, take a nap. Just do what your body needs to do to help you through it. And then the basic thing, you know, get the boxes and bags for items that you're parting with, because that's the very practical thing that you need to do. You need to have them handy. Otherwise, just go back on the shelf where it came from, and then you've defeated the purpose. So then mentally, I would say set small goals, so they're easy to achieve and you feel like you've achieved things, whether it's a daily or a weekly goal, but keep them small in the beginning. We all know that the process is going to be huge, but just to set little incremental goals to make it easier. Decide where the balance will go before starting, whether you're going to have an estate sale or send things to consignment, run classified ads or post on eBay or Craigslist or those kinds of places, or if things are going to be donated. And then, of course, we're back to calling the family meeting, etc. And once the family has decided what they want, then invite your friends, because friends always have an emotional attachment to your things too, because they're your close friends, and you know what you have means a lot to them as well. So emotionally, I've already said it can be a difficult process emotionally, so it's important to prepare yourself for the unexpected. Downsizing someone else's belongings, you may be surprised at how emotional it can be. So I'd say before beginning, if you can wrap yourself in an invisible cape to protect your feelings. I'll tell a personal story here because this was the first time I downsized. It was my mother was in failing health and could not keep her apartment. And as an only child, I had to be the one to dispose of her things because she was bedridden and could not come and help. So she had called her sisters and said, "We're doing it this day. Come and help yourself." And that was fine with me. I brought boxes and I did all the things necessary. But when they started collecting all her things that they wanted and going through drawers and boxes, I couldn't believe it. I fell apart because I didn't know what, I wasn't prepared emotionally for what was coming. So I think that's really, really important. And it's important to know it's going to happen and to get help beforehand if possible to help you deal with it, to point out where the stumbling points might be so you don't cause family rifts because someone's taken a few greeting cards or something that you weren't expecting them to take. Not that they're, you know, it's not a big deal, but the least little thing can cause an emotional upheaval at that point. So that's enough about me. If you're taking care of your own downsizing, and in a way this is kind of easier because you are prepared to do it, I suggest inviting someone that you trust who's impartial to your belongings to come and help and support you through it. Take the time to trip down memory lane with them, recount the stories about the items, write the stories down if you need to, and if you're giving the items away, give the stories too, because the recipient might not know that, say, a Christmas tree ornament that's been on the tree forever came from Europe when great-grandpa so-and-so emigrated. You know, it's those little things that, you just because it's always there, we don't always know the history of it. Be gentle with yourself. This is really hard work, and it's important to know that ahead of time. So I say, at the end of every day, treat yourself to something special, whether it's simple. Something, coffee out with a friend, a bubble bath, delving into the novel you've been wanting to read, a movie, whatever appeals at the moment, but then plan a big reward once it's complete. And if you need little mini rewards along the way to, in addition to what we're doing at the end of each day, do that too. Maybe it's personal bribery, but if it helps you through it, I think that's what really matters, because we're trying to make this as easy as possible, and if that helps, then that's great. So lastly, spiritually, for those who believe in a higher power, I believe that to trust in that higher power, that everything will turn out as it should in ultimately. And if this is something, whether you believe in a higher power or not, you can still do this, is take time daily to meditate before beginning, so you start the day in a peaceful frame of mind, and that will help the day go a little easier.
That's it. Great tips on all fronts, and the bathtub is my woman cave. Bubble baths are how I relax and recharge, and that's my treat daily.
Good for you.
Now, were you able to finish your thought?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
No, I'm done.
Well, I wanted to ask you, what would you say? Those are all excellent points, and I think self-care is so important in so many ways. What would you say to someone who started the downsizing product and they have that panicked moment or, oh my gosh, what have I done? They're just completely overwhelmed and freeze. What advice would you have for them?
Well, first I'd say stop and take a time out and refocus. To keep plowing on when you're feeling stressed is unproductive. So refocus, and then go back over the steps that we just mentioned, what it means to you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and just kind of focus on those and get back to where you were when you started. And if necessary, take a few days away from the downsizing. If half an hour or 20 minutes or whatever you've decided isn't enough, take a longer time away, because you do need to get back into that good frame of mind. And this is another reason it takes a long time. People need to stop and refocus periodically. And sometimes we need longer to refocus than at other times. So, yeah, that's what I suggest.
Excellent. Now, any final thoughts on downsizing, or if there's anything that I didn't ask you that you'd like to share?
Well, I'll tell you, I've downsized myself several times, and the last time was the most difficult. And I've always said that it gets easier the more times you do it, but I've been wrong. It gets harder because theoretically it should be easier, but I found it harder because the things that meant the most to me I had already kept, and I had to let some of those things go, and that was very, very difficult. The only thing that gets easier is deciding where the cast-offs go, because that template is already in place. Then to be aware that downsizing continues even after you're in the new place, because things that you think are going to fit, even if you've done a floor plan, measured everything carefully, and everything on paper looks like it's going to work, what happened to me in my last downsize, there was a bulkhead that I hadn't noticed. So I couldn't stack a couple of bookcases on top of each other because there wasn't enough headroom. Well, that was a surprise. I thought, okay, well, that's going to have to go too. So there's always surprises. I must also say that I worked with clients who have no difficulty at all. It just depends how attached we are to our belongings and our material goods. And I guess I'm more attached to my things than I thought I was.
Wow. I've learned so much. This is great. I'm going to be prepared. We are actually, I suspect, moving within the next year, and I've already gotten boxes because I'm the type of personality that I don't want to be overwhelmed, and I'm listening to my guidance and trusting that, but trying to avoid that. But that's really interesting, because every year we go through everything we own. That's something I've done for before I got married for the past 10 years, because I just, if you're always on top of it, then there's less that you have to deal with. Now, do you have any final thoughts on letting go of clutter in any area?
Sure. For each item, you know, if you do an annual or semi-annual clearing out, ask yourself how important each item really is to your well-being and your long-term happiness. If it would really matter in the larger picture if you didn't have it, would the sky actually fall? And the answer probably is no. If it's yes, then of course, keep it. With time, each smaller place you move into gets easier and more comfortable to live with less. There's always a rainbow at the end of the storm. As much as it seems at some points the storm will never end, it does actually get better and easier over time.
Excellent. Now, Maureen, please share how people can find out more information about you. You've written some books, how they can get those, all that good stuff.
Sure. Well, I'll talk first about my book, Going Forward, Downsizing, Moving, and Settling In, because that's really the topic of our little chat today. It's an easy-to-follow survival guide on decluttering and simplifying life, and it contains really practical advice from my own experience, personal experience, and that of my clients about downsizing and each step of the process, from the initial decision to downsize to then actually completing the process. And I've put in handy worksheets to help our readers and stories about how different people handle different things. It also offers practical and useful steps in the process to retain your sanity. It's written primarily for baby boomers, but it's useful for all age groups. It's available on Amazon, both in paper and digital format, but it's also available in a variety of formats for e-readers, all kinds of e-readers from reputable booksellers. People can contact me at www.goforwarddownsize.com.
I want to thank you, Maureen. This was very eye-opening. I learned a lot today, and I want to thank everyone for watching and listening. Go out and clear some clutter and create the life you choose, desire, and deserve.
Thanks for joining us on Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out. You can find out more about Julie Caraccio and her services at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. We'll see you here next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Remember, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.